a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Committee meeting will now come to order. We'll just take the moment at this point in time for everybody to turn their cell phones off, and I'm pretty sure I did, but it's always good for the chair to double-check that when he expects everybody else to do that. And as usual, we expect the utmost professionalism and decorum in this place by committee members and those testifying. And so with that, we'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Campbell.
Here.
Eklund. Hager. Hawks.
Here.
Heineman.
Here.
Heinert. Hickey. Sly.
Here.
Soli.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Westra.
Here.
Magstad.
Here.
Munsterman.
Here.
Chairman Munsterman, a quorum is present.
Thank you very much. We have minutes from our previous committee meeting. The chair would entertain a motion to approve those at this time.
So moved.
Motion by Representative Magstad, seconded by Representative Hawks. Any discussion on the minutes from previous? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Motion passes. We have with us some pages here today. If you would step up to the mic, make sure you turned the mic on so that little green button or green light shining. We'd like to know your name, where you're from, and what your vision is for your life today.
Hello, I'm Kaylin Nutledge. I'm from Doland, and I'm going to attend Drake University this fall to major in finance and marketing and get a minor in political science, and then I plan to go to law school at Georgetown.
Very good. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
I'm Jacob Thomas, and I'm from Watertown, and I'm going to Black Hills State for Political Science and Business Administration.
Very good. Well, it's great to have you guys with us here today. And as always, handouts that you may have that you want the committee to have would be distributed through the pages. And as a reminder, we have sign-in requirement, Secretary of State. And if you're here representing yourself, you don't need a name badge. But if you're representing an organization, you will be required to have a name badge. And we do have one exception today, which has already been passed by me, and we'll make sure that that the committee understands that. All questions that need to be addressed will be addressed through the chair, both through the committee and through those that are participating. And so with that, we'll move on to today's consideration of bills. We're going to take up House Bill 1169. The prime sponsor has asked me to move it to Thursday, but is there anybody here that has traveled out of town to get here to testify on House Bill 1169? Because we certainly will take your testimony on that. We don't want you to have to drive those icy roads again to get here. Okay. So seeing none, we will defer that one to Thursday. Do we need a motion to do that, by the way? Okay. And so we will go ahead and get started with Senate Bill 24, which is to revise certain provisions pertaining to the Board of Examiners of Psychologists. We will listen to proponent testimony on Senate Bill 24. Proponent testimony.
Good morning. I'm Tom Stanage, and I'm a psychologist. I'm here on behalf of the Board of Psychological Examiners. We just saw an amendment to our bill, and we're going to ask to defer the bill until we have a little bit of time to look at that. Would that be acceptable?
How much time would you need?
A couple days, if we could. Representative Sly has.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I had been contacted by the school psychologists, and they had requested that amendment be written up. And so then I shared it with the other people, and I think they're not sure whether or not it's something that is affected by school psychologists, and they're asking to check into that more before decisions are made.
Okay. Yes.
I would just say that the purpose of the bill is really to try to take the burden of evaluating programs away from the board and put it with appropriate accrediting bodies. And they've just proposed another accrediting body that we're not real familiar with, but we'd like to have a chance of looking at it and see if it's appropriate.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm open to advice from the rest of the committee.
Possibly we could take proponent and opponent testimony and then not have any action on it so that there would be
leaning.
Time that we can do that.
Yep. Does that sound appropriate for everybody? And we can get some of that work done today?
Yes.
So go ahead and proceed, and what we'll do is take proponent and opponent testimony today. We'll put it back on for action at our next meeting and probably have some committee questions and then address the amendment and get your response to that, and then we'll be able to take action on that. So thank you, Representative Sly. I appreciate that. So okay. You can proceed with your proponent testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Sly, as well. Again, I'm a psychologist. My name is Tom Stanage. I'm the vice chair of the Board of Examiners for Psychologists. Our chairman, Dr. Magnamita, was not able to be here today. I am speaking on behalf of the Board of Examiners. I told Representative Munsterman that I do have a badge, but I left it on my dresser in Yankton, and I wasn't going to turn around last night to go home and get it. Senate Bill 24 revises several provisions pertaining to the licensure of psychologists. It's been put forward on behalf of the board. Senate Bill 24 deals with eligibility for licensure. It's not intended to have any effect on current licensees, nor do we want anybody who is currently in a program or who is currently in the process of becoming licensed to be affected. It is attempting to place the burden of accreditation with the appropriate entities. The bill also reduces the reciprocity requirements from 5 years of practice in another state to 3 years. It removes a specified time period for the review of felony convictions and provides for the emergency suspension of a license if the board finds that public health, safety, or welfare is at risk. I want to stop a minute and just talk a little bit about why the board's coming forward with these changes right now, and then provide a little bit of background so you understand a little bit about licensing for psychologists. The board's come forward with the proposed revisions motivated by a need to clean up the existing statute in the face of increased difficulty evaluating applicants for licensure under current law. And it's an attempt to bring other provisions into line with our experience as it relates to the board's role of protecting the public. And I'll explain this a little bit more, but over time, the board has had to increasingly evaluate the academic and internship experience of individual applicants, a function that is beyond the scope of the board and, in our opinion, should rest with appropriate accrediting bodies. By way of background, in South Dakota, to be licensed as a psychologist, there are four major elements. First, the applicant must have a doctoral degree from a program in psychology recognized by a regionally accredited university. Second, the applicant must have completed an internship of a defined term. And third, the applicant has to complete 1 year of additional supervised training. Finally, the applicant must pass a national exam, and they must pass an oral exam dealing primarily with ethics and laws as it relates to the state of South Dakota. The proposed changes in eligibilities deal with definitions related to the first two requirements, namely definitions having to do with the program in psychology and with internship. The current statute puts the burden of evaluating individual doctoral programs in psychology, on the board. Current statute requires the board to review a laundry list of elements to determine if a program in psychology meets the criteria for each element. This includes a detailed review of the curriculum of each applicant. And I think you can understand that that's quite a process. The laundry list of those elements that described a program in psychology in current statute at one time corresponded to the American Psychological Association's APA definition, but over time those changes in the APA definitions have changed. The elements, frankly, from our perspective, have become much harder to evaluate as higher education has changed. There's an increasing emphasis on distance learning, online education, and it's just really hard for the board to keep up with those changes and whether or not those programs are doing that kind of curriculum correctly. Senate Bill 24 simply defines a program in psychology as a doctoral program that is accredited by the American Psychological Association or the Canadian Psychological Association. Those two associations really have the same criteria, and they are the appropriate accrediting bodies for programs of psychology. Likewise, the current statute puts the burden of evaluating internships on the board. The board evaluates 9 different elements for internships, down to the amount of time that an intern spends in direct client contact. Those elements also at one time corresponded to the American Psychological Association definition, but again, over time, those definitions have changed. Senate Bill 24 defines an internship as one that's accredited by the American Psychological Association, the Canadian Psychological Association, or by the Association of Psychology Postdoctoral and Internship Centers, APEC. And those are the appropriate accrediting bodies for psychology internships. The felony look-back provision and the emergency suspension provisions are simply based on the board's experience. The board believes that these provisions would help the board perform its functions. The provision to reduce the time requirement for reciprocity, again, is just based on our experience, and we've found that the 5 years to be too restrictive and doesn't serve any real purpose. In the board's opinion, these changes will make sure that our licensing law keeps up with changes in the field and changes in accreditation. The changes place the accreditation function with the appropriate entities, and that's critical from our point of view, entities that have appropriate expertise and resources. The changes enhance the board's ability to protect the public. Also, the changes reduce the burden on the board and allow resources to be used more wisely. Finally, the board believes that changes reduce the risk of exposure to lawsuit. I'll certainly stay for questions. I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 24. Proponent testimony for Senate Bill 24. Okay, seeing none, we'll move to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 24. Is there any opponent testimony? Yep, you can step right up, ma'am, and make sure the mic is turned on, and then you can state your name and where you're from and who you're representing, being yourself. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman and committee members. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Erica Kotab, and I am a school psychologist in Wagner, South Dakota. I do not have a name badge, and I was going to represent the Association of School Psychologists in South Dakota here, but because I don't have a name badge, I'll be representing myself. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Maybe just as a starting point, I'd like to take a little bit of time to differentiate between a school psychologist and a clinical psychologist. In South Dakota, the University of South Dakota has 2 psychology training programs, one for clinical psychology and the other for school psychology. The clinical psychology is an APA-approved program. As you've heard earlier, the APA stands for the American Psychological Association, which sets very high standards for both training and service in the field of psychology. USD also has a school psychology program, but it is a NASP-approved program. NASP stands for the National Association of School Psychologists. This is the professional organization of school psychologists, and it also sets very high standards for both training and practice. I believe there's a handout that I sent along. It is the NASP practice model, and it defines the delivery of school psychological services, if you'd like to reference that. USC has two levels of training in the school psychology program. One of them is the educational specialist degree, the EDS. They also have a doctoral program. I'd also like to talk a little bit about the role of the Department of Education and certification for school psychologists. Most specialist-level school psychologists are certified by the Department of Education, and they are the governing body for school psychologists who are serving in the school setting. But there are several PhD or doctoral-level school psychologists who are also licensed by the licensing board. In fact, of the roughly 200 clinical licensed psychologists in South Dakota, about 20% of them do have training in the school psychology field or as counselor educators. School psychologists are uniquely trained in both the fields of education and psychology. School psychology is a division of the APA and is recognized as a field of professional psychology. Students who earn doctoral degrees in school psychology are viewed by the APA as meeting the educational requirements for licensure as a psychologist. Nationwide, about 32% of school psychologists do earn their doctoral degrees, and of that 32%, roughly 15% of those obtain licensure. Currently at USD, there are doctoral-level school psychology students who are interested in obtaining licensure. The current licensed school psychologists who are trained as school psychologists must follow the ethical codes set by NASP, the APA, and the Association of State and Provincial Psychology Boards, all of which state that competent clinicians will practice only within the scope of their expertise and training. So the competence of school psychologists is well monitored. So you may be asking yourself, what are the effects of Senate Bill 24? First of all, it limits the eligibility for licensure only to those who earn their doctoral degrees from APA or CPA-approved training programs. This excludes doctoral-level school psychologists from NASP-approved training programs. Second, regarding the internship requirements, currently in South Dakota, there's a very small pool of qualified sites. I think there's roughly three, as a matter of fact, which results in a limited opportunity. Oops, there we go. Which results in a limited opportunity for school psychologists to complete internship experiences in settings that focus on the educational. Oh. Technology, right? See if we can get it turned back on. I don't know why it turned off. I may.
Did you run out of battery?
No, I had 42% left. I don't know where it went. I clutched that closely this morning. I wanted to make sure I had a good charge. Let's see. I see an apple. That's good. This is when a minute seems like an hour.
We got time.
We do have time this morning, don't we?
All right. We are back in action, folks. All right. So I was referring to the small number of qualified sites for their internship. This results in a limited opportunity for school psychologists to complete internship experiences in a setting that focuses on the educational, social, and emotional needs and services of school-aged children. It also forces trainees to make some pretty hard choices. One, in an internship site that is a school setting but without qualified supervision, or an appropriately trained supervisor in a qualified setting but not connected to children or schools, or finally to seek internships outside of South Dakota. Internship requirements with strict regulations like those of Senate Bill 24 will contribute to the shortage of practitioners who specialize in serving children and promoting educational functioning. According to a 2010 study by the South Dakota Department of Labor and Regulation, the demand for clinical, school, counseling, and other psychologists in South Dakota will rise by roughly 12.8% between 2010 and 2020. However, more psychologists are projected to leave than enter the profession during the same amount of time. According to the South Dakota Department of Health, in 2012, 61 South Dakota counties currently have a shortage of mental health professionals, and I believe you have a handout that refers to that. So why license a school psychologist? Well, it's important to increase the number of licensed school psychologists in the school setting to improve the alignment of school psychological services with trends in healthcare legislation, and also to ensure that students and families receive the services that they will need in the future. Finally, although the current licensing board states that it's not the intent to affect the licensure status of current licensees, the proposed bill does not include language that would protect their status going forward. So in summary, if passed, this bill would restrict the number of highly qualified mental health providers in the state with both current and future shortages. It would also ensure that highly qualified clinicians trained in South Dakota would require an out-of-state internship experience, which may naturally lead to a permanent employment in another state. Moreover, the only APA-accredited training program in South Dakota graduates a low number of students eligible for psychology licensure as it is. The bill ensures that doctoral-level graduates of other training programs in South Dakota, such as the school psychology program, cannot achieve licensure in South Dakota. Finally, the proposed bill does not include language providing that all current licensees will remain licensed in the future. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll be available for questions if you have any.
All right. Thank you very much. Further opponent testimony. Opponent testimony to Senate Bill 24. Going one more time. Opponent testimony, Senate Bill 24. Hearing none, I'll open it up to committee questions at this time. And I know that the amendment, I think it'd be good just to at least talk about that, you know, preliminarily, and we could get this young lady's viewpoint on it so that she wouldn't have to come back, because she took a long drive from Wagner as well. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's what I was going to ask, if it would be appropriate to hand that out so the committee members would have see what the proponents are looking at and making decisions.
Yep, very good. Any committee questions? Yes, Representative Heineman.
Just a question of clarity. I believe the Senate amended this, and then it passed out of committee. Are we looking at that amendment, or is this a different?
No, we're.
So this is as amended.
This is a new amendment.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
The bill that you have in front of you has already been amended from the Senate. Representative Sly, would you like to explain this, or explain yourself, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I believe that Ms. Kotev would have a lot more knowledge of the explanation. I can go through it, but she has the understanding. I have the words in front of me.
Okay.
So,
very well.
And it was requested through their school psychologist. Would that be appropriate
that
for
be
her
appropriate.
To come up and explain
you bet.
It? Okay, thank you.
Come on up.
All right. Well, regarding the two primary changes in the bill, one dealing with the accrediting body, we'd like to see the National Association of School Psychologists added to that list of accrediting bodies. And also in relation to the internship requirements, we'd like to see that the internship is approved by a program in psychology defined in a subdivision, yada, 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 which would mean that it's defined through the APA, the CPA, as well as NASP. They would require the same internship requirements that those accrediting bodies would require. Did I explain that well enough?
Yeah, I believe so. And then I see that you have another change on page 9.
Oh, yes. And that I believe this one has to do with protecting those who are already licensed so that they will be able to retain their licensure, that it protects them for the future.
And so you feel that this would eliminate the unintended consequence to eject your group from?
Correct.
From yep. this. So, any questions? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If these two amendments are accepted, I'm sorry I didn't catch your last name, Erica?
Kotab,
okay, Ms. Kotab. If these two are accepted, would you still remain an opponent to this bill?
No, I believe having accrediting bodies like NASP and the APA is a good thing. It sets high standards for the profession. I just would like to see NASP included on a list of accrediting bodies.
Okay, I guess a follow-up question, Mr. Chair. This would be for the other professor then. Would you be do you oppose this amendment?
Mr. Chair,
would you speak against it, sir?
At this point, I need to know a little bit more about NASP and exactly what this does. The board clearly wants to move in the direction of putting the burden of accreditation on the bodies that really do that have the resources to do that. So to the extent that it does that, it's perfectly in line with what we're trying to do. The only concern that I have is we really don't want to go backwards in terms of the standards for psychologists. And I don't know what the NASP's criteria are, for example, for an internship. For an internship in psychology, you're talking about a very defined program where somebody goes and gets hands-on training within a program. It's analogous to a residency training kind of program. And I just don't understand what the criteria are. Internships are generally, for psychology, are generally offered through the VA. Both VA systems in South Dakota have psychology internships programs, and then the Community Mental Health Center in Mitchell has an internship program. And they're very organized programs that, you know, admit a number of people at one time, and they have a very organized training program for practice. And that's a critical part of training for a psychologist who's going to be providing mental health services, whether it's in schools or wherever it's at. I don't know right now what the criteria what it would mean for NASP to be able to do that, in that historically internships have been accredited. They've been part of the program, but they've been accredited separately. We want to get away from having to review online programs that are, I mean, there's some nightmare stories out there in terms of what some people are, what's happening in higher education in some places. And then we want to get away from people making up interns that really aren't providing the kind of quality experience that they need. The only other thing that I would add is that this bill only applies to applicants. And with the amendment, there's absolutely no way that anybody that would currently meet the criteria for licensing under the current law would not be eligible under this law because of the grandfathering provision. And so forth. So that's all I would say. I'm most concerned about the internship provision and what the NASP would require for that, and I don't know. And if you could allow us to find out, I would we can make a decision.
Okay. Mr. Chair, no follow up.
Representative Campbell, you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for both parties. Just any fact or opinion regarding how we came to this apparent division between two, and maybe I'm saying it incorrectly, two like.
I could say a couple of things. Is that school psychology in South Dakota has traditionally been regulated by the Department of Education. Matter of fact, I believe that to practice within schools in South Dakota, you have to be certified as a school psychologist, and the Department of Education certifies school psychologists. So it's kind of always been a different process in South Dakota. Now, it is correct that the APA does have programs that are school psychology programs that are approved. They're pretty rare. I think University of Nebraska and Lincoln has one, for example, but they're pretty rare. And the division in South Dakota is primarily because, in my opinion anyway, the Department of Education has certified school psychologists. They were certified at a master's level or above, and they were really limited to practicing in schools. And then the psychology board really functioned outside of the school settings.
Representative Heineman.
Yes, I did receive some emails, and I guess I would... the first question this individual commented on, I believe, is taken care of about the grandfathering clause, because he stated that approximately 30 current psychologists would be forfeiting their licensure in South Dakota, according to him. And then secondly, the proposed bill disregards the ability of school psychologists prepared at the doctoral level to be licensed. Even though school psychologists who complete an accredited program under the NASP would not be eligible for licensure. So I guess the first question is, did the committee consider that when they drew this up?
We didn't consider NASP, but again, we didn't consider NASP primarily because school psychologists in South Dakota are certified by the Department of Education, and it's really is outside of our purview. Because the Department of Education has really assumed that responsibility in South Dakota.
Yes, follow up.
So you were assuming that they would continue that process?
That would be our assumption, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This would be for Ms. Kotem. Mr. Chair?
Yes. Yep.
I want to make sure that I understood you correctly, that some of the psychologists now are not only school psychologists, but also in clinical psychology. Is that correct? That some are working towards that?
There are doctoral level school psychologists in the state of South Dakota, and many of them are licensed by the licensing board. Of the roughly 200 licensed school psychologists in South Dakota, about 20% of them have been trained in the field of school psychology. Dr. Stanage, in some regards, was correct that the Department of Education does govern the school psychologists in the school setting, but those are primarily specialist-level school psychologists. And there are doctoral-level school psychologists who are also also certified by the state, this would not allow them to be licensed as well at the doctoral level. Specialist-level school psychologists cannot be licensed.
Follow-up?
Yep, follow-up, you bet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Ms. Kotev, my question then would follow. Looking at the map of what you handed out, that there will be, there are shortages throughout South Dakota of school psychologists. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. So, based on that, without this amendment, would it be more limiting, in your opinion, for school psychologists to increase that number as others are leaving the field and retiring? Is that correct, or am I not understanding it correctly?
The shortage refers to both psychologists, clinical psychologists, and mental health, really, services to kids and families in general. But if we don't have licensed psychologists available throughout the state who are able to provide supervision for those in trainee programs, yes, it could impact the number of psychologists who therefore can serve families and kids in South Dakota.
Thank you.
Okay. That was a good question there. Good questions. Further committee questions. Representative Hickey, I believe you had one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine were sort of answered, but let me summarize and make a question. This came out of the Senate, and hadn't this issue had not come up. So we're more careful over here. I'd like that on the record. So, I'm just joking. It seems like this group was not in the consideration when this bill was being drafted, and later you guys realized, whoa, this affects us. And so my question is, do you want school psychologists to be fully under the jurisdiction of the Department of Ed, or are you saying, no, we do need this additional group oversight? Because if they're saying you want, or they're presently pretty much under the Department of Ed, why don't we just write them out of the bill?
Currently there are school psychologists who are certified, and there are some who are licensed, and we want to keep that opportunity for both certification and licensure. So we don't want to take away the certification through the Department of Education for the specialist level school psychologists. As well as any doctoral level school psychologist who wants to be certified by the state. But we also don't want to limit or prohibit school psychologists at the doctoral level from being licensed.
So a follow-up, I guess, I would have to that, just to make sure we're clear. This bill does not have an impact necessarily on the school psychologist specialist that is currently being overseen by the Department of Education. But what it does is that it does have an impact on the 20% that are at the doctoral level that are currently licensed. And that's the issue. Am I straight on that?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so that's the group that really has the issue.
Correct.
With this bill. And what relationship do the doctoral level school psychologists have on the certified school psychologist? Is there an interreaction there, or internship process or supervision process that goes on?
Yes, I would say so. With the limited number of internship sites currently in South Dakota, the three, currently there's a doctoral level school psychologist who is licensed in South Dakota at the Developmental Center in Redfield, who is providing supervision to a school psychology doctoral level student. So, yes, they are out there. And
so it would be fair to say then that doctoral level in the school psychology arena is important to the certified school psychologists.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those are two important components. Okay. Further committee questions? Representative Heineman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess in fairness, could we have someone representing the proponents of this bill to answer that question?
Okay.
Thank you.
Could you give me the question again? It's
I guess I just wanted to make sure it was clear in my head that there was clarity on the different groups that are involved. You know, the certified school psychologist, the doctoral level school psychologist, and then your group at the doctoral level. And I think that's probably, since we're not all experts in that arena, to understand who's certifying who's licensing who, and the group that is impacted that Ms. Kotab has talked about.
Yeah. This is Tom Standage again, and if I may, representative, answer the question. That first of all, I would just say that it's not going to affect anybody who's currently licensed. And one of the things that the board is really struggling with are just these kinds of issues in terms of, as I told you, the whole process of determining whether a program meets the criteria for a program in psychology and whether an internship meets that criteria is something that the board's really been struggling with, and it's been struggling with it for the same reasons that you guys are trying to get your heads around it, because it's tough stuff and it's hard to work through, and there's a lot of details and there's a lot of wrinkles. And so we want to go to a process where we rely on accrediting bodies that do this. The concern that I have in terms of what I just heard was about the whole internship process, and I can't emphasize it enough that to practice as a psychologist, whether it's, you know, with kids or families or with adults, you're giving somebody a license that potentially can do a lot of harm if they don't have the correct training. And the internship is a really, really critical piece. And there's two things. And to be a psychologist in South Dakota right now, beyond having your doctorate, you have to have an internship that's generally defined as 1,800 to 2,000 hours. So it's a year of training within a program where people are watching everything that you do, and it's not just one person providing supervision. It's a program of training in practice. You know, somebody has a bug in your ear, somebody's watching through a one-way mirror. It's very, very intense kind of training. And then in South Dakota currently, even after that, you have 1 year of supervised training where a licensed psychologist has to provide supervision for another year. So there's really 2 years of practice training, one within a program, the other one outside. And the only thing that I'm concerned about with what I've heard for the school psychologist program is what the accreditation body would require for that internship. And if it's just hooking up with another psychologist that's providing some kind of supervision on ad hoc basis, that really, in my opinion, doesn't meet the current criteria right now for an internship. So that would be my concern, and that's what I need to sort out.
Mr. Chair.
President Magstead.
Yeah.
So just to kind of summarize and make sure I have my correct, you are open to this amendment if you get some time to look at NASP's requirements for their internship to see if it meets your standard.
Precisely.
So we just need to give you some time to do that.
Yes.
All right.
Further committee questions? No, what we'll do is just close the public hearing, and then we'll take it up next time. I don't want to rush anybody here. If you have any questions or... Yep, Representative Sly.
Ask Ms. Kotab again, just because I want to find out more about the internship program, which I'm assuming she went under.
And she may not be here in 2 days.
That's right.
That.
So that's
so
why I
want
to
make sure we get all our questions
squeeze
answered.
All I can out of her right now here. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Ms. Kotab, did you go through the internship program under NASP?
I am not a doctoral level school psychologist. I am a specialist level school psychologist, so I haven't had the training of a doctoral level school psychologist.
Follow up?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, are you aware of their internship program, of what the requirements are for the concern that was expressed by the previous speaker? Are you aware of the criteria or what it is?
Not in immense detail, but I do know that I think the school psychology program's internship study is 200 hours shorter than the APA's program, but the University of South Dakota is open to increasing the number of hours to make it commensurate.
Okay. Very good. I guess I would have one question for both of you. The scope of practice of the doctoral level school psychologist, is it the same scope of practice as what, you know, we're referring to, or are we talking an apple and an orange here?
Well, as I mentioned, a school psychologist has unique training in both the fields of education and psychology, so they're uniquely poised to work in a school setting. Dr. Stanage mentioned two internship sites, one of them being the VA, which is a great internship site, but it doesn't allow for the opportunity to practice with school-aged children, which is really vital to a school psychologist's training. Yes, it is important to have doctoral-level school psychologists in a school setting. For the services they provide, but also to be able to work with trainees who are currently in the program.
Okay. Dr. Stanish, could you respond to my question?
Yeah, and it's your question is a pretty intuitive question. That historically, and in those occasions where we have licensed school psychologists, that scope of practice becomes a big issue, and school psychologists would need to limit their scope of practice to their area of expertise. And if their area of expertise is school, then, you know, it really does need to practice within that scope, unless they would demonstrate that they, you know, obtained additional training to expand their scope of practice. And that's, you know, one of the things the board looks at closely. So, yes, the brief answer to your question is yes.
Okay, so it would stand to reason, maybe in my mind and not in anybody else's, that you would not want to use a cookie-cutter approach here if you're talking about two different doctoral level, one that may be more specialized than another, more clinical.
And that's correct. And then the other issue that you get into, that's really kind of a practical issue, is that if you're licensing psychologists who really are, their scope of practice is schools, and they're practicing within schools, and then they're certified by the Department of Education, you know, you kind of get into that, you know, who's really responsible for their practice. So you have that issue as well.
Okay. And our primary target here, from my understanding, is the doctoral level school psychologist, is what I'm understanding is the
issue.
Well,
that's the group that is saying,
right,
that they'd like to have NASP and,
right,
and the board, yeah, I'm saying right now, and we'll see what the board says, is that the main issue would be what that means in terms of internship.
And so the oversight of that particular group right now is being done by your board, is that correct?
For if
the doctoral level school psychologist?
If it's somebody that's a doctoral school psychologist who is licensed under the current statute or went to an APA program, then yes, but their practice would be limited to their scope would be limited.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Representative Heinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the statement you just said that you're watching over the percentage of doctoral level school psychologists. Now, is the Department of Ed is over your, I don't even know what you call them, just your practicing school psychologists? That confused me.
Yeah, there's a maybe the best way to say it, if I can respond, is that there is a group of people who are certified as school psychologists and also hold a license as a psychologist. So there is a group of people that have both.
And to be, excuse me, if I could interject, because that's a great thought, to be licensed, you have to attain that doctoral level.
Is that right, an and then you statement? Also have to complete the laundry list of, right. You have to have a program that, and right now the board has to look at your curriculum, make sure that you have all of the pieces of the curriculum that, you know, at one time corresponded to APA, and then you have to do make sure you have all the laundry list of things that you completed for your internship.
Would you like follow-up?
Little follow-up.
Yep.
So are we worried about a diploma mill person coming in, or are we worried about that we just don't have quite the training even through our own universities?
Well the board is worried about, and I need to be careful if I can answer this, how I present this, but higher education is changing. And we've certainly had instances where people have come in from, you've all seen the advertisement for online programs and those kinds of things, where the programs aren't meeting the current criteria. And so it is an issue. But also with distance learning and online education, there are some entities that are doing it correctly. I mean, are extending the outreach for education and are doing it right and are bringing people together in certain ways to provide the kind of training that they need. And there are accrediting bodies that are working with that and putting a lot of resources into understanding what works, what doesn't, how far you can go with it. And so, yes, we're struggling because we don't have the resources to do that. We just can't.
Further questions? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess as I'm listening, it sounds to me like there's some reluctance. Because, and this is my question, is there this reluctance due to maybe having two or even possibly more boards overseeing licensed psychology then? Is that because we're talking NASP and then we're talking the APA and then maybe even the Canadian? So we have, is that kind of where our issue is?
Yeah, if I may answer that. Certainly it's an issue now because it's the whole NASP issue has been brought forward, but CPA and APA is not an issue, and it's one of the instances where, you know, two international associations really have the same standards and criteria, and they've done that historically, so that's not an issue. And then what is probably an issue is for school psychologists, because there are some school psychology programs that are APA, and then there's the NASP, the National Association of School Psychology Programs. So school psychology does bring that issue specifically.
Representative Hickey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll try to frame it in a question, but I have to make a statement first. Mental health in schools is very, very important right now. And more important than guns will be, pardon me, a school shrink, more important than a school sentinel. Not that I won't vote a certain way on that today. My question is your field growing or shrinking? Are we putting more difficulties in front of people in the schools? And I would ask you, as you consider this in the next 2 days, to consider a way to make this work where we increase the ease of a person getting in that school if there's such a shortage. So my question was, is it growing or shrinking?
I can answer that from my personal experience, and that my day job is I'm the director of a community mental health center, and we have I believe 28
individuals that work with children. They're primarily have master's degree in counseling, master's degree in social work, those kinds of things. So, you know, yes, the field is growing. It's not, you know, it's certainly not all psychologists. When I started, I think when I started at Lewis and Clark Behavioral Health Services 20-some years ago, there were 35 staff, and I think we have 100 now. So it is growing. We are getting more people, and I think all of the professional groups have done what they could to promote that. We have a master's degree in social work program in South Dakota now for the first time. We have been fortunate in South Dakota to have had a clinical psychology program at USD ever since I can remember, and I don't want to tell you how long that is, but so we've been very fortunate in being able to have those individuals as well. So I think South Dakota has done for the size of our state, has done a pretty good job. Having three internship sites for a state as small as South Dakota is actually pretty good as well.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Heidemann.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just one question. Of the 20%, and I'm following your thinking here, Chairman, of the 20% that are school psychologists, what percentage of them are licensed with your board?
May I try to answer that? The 20% isn't my figure, and it's not clear to me if the 20% are I don't know the number. I mean that there's a certain percentage of psychologists who are licensed who have EDDs, but I don't know if there's all school psychologists, and I'm not really sure where the 20% came from.
Well, just to reference that, if I could make that clear, Ms. Kotab had stated that of approximately 200 current licensed psychologists practicing in South Dakota, which would be the school psychologists, I believe. Or, no, I'm sorry, 200 current licensed psychologists practicing in South, approximately 20% or more were trained as school psychologists or counseling educators at the doctoral level. So I think that's the category you're looking for, Dr. Representative and Dr. Heidemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, what I'm getting at is, and maybe they can clarify for that later in the next 2 days, because it is unclear. It appears that some of the doctoral level school psychologists fall under two different licensing bodies, if you will, or certification levels, if you will, because the education side has their particulars, and your board is looking to go to a set standard. And I'm familiar with that problem because the State Board of Dentistry has the same issue in that they every year have expanded groups of people that come in that want to have licensure, but the body that's giving them that license doesn't know where to draw the line. So, again, I'm familiar with that problem.
Okay. Dr. Standish.
Yeah, and precisely that's exactly what we're trying to do, and we're trying to draw the line in a way that, you know, doesn't hurt anybody but doesn't lower our standards currently. So,
and I think you responded to my question earlier about the doctoral level school psychologists are currently licensed under your board.
There are some, and the 20% figure, and some of the history of this is that at one time the counseling program at USD, and this was before licensed counselors, before counselors were licensed, and they are licensed now, but there was a time when the counselors were kind of doing the same thing that the school psychologists are doing now, but that whole issue went away when the counseling program at USD got KCREP accreditation, and then they really fall under the counseling, the Board of Counselor Examiners. So that whole issue kind of went away and clarified itself, okay. I guess, for lack of better terms, and we have the school psychology. So of that 20%, I'm guessing, but a small percentage of them are school psychologists, and the other percentage is counseling psychologists.
Okay. Further questions? It's a good thing we had time for this bill today, huh?
Yeah.
I think they've been great questions. Well, seeing no further questions, we'll go ahead and close this public hearing on this bill at this point. And what we will do is go ahead and schedule it first thing for Thursday. And I'm thinking no more than 10 minutes, okay, guys? Because we have a lot of bills that we have to begin to really watch our time management. And we'll look for a response from your group, Dr. Standish, as to where you stand on the proposed amendment. But we'll take up that amendment then, have that discussion, and then we'll dispose of the bill one way or the other. So does that sound fair?
Thank you.
Okay. Like I mentioned, we do have... Now we're starting to get a lot of bills, and so I would suggest that as we move ahead, it will be important for me as a chair to try to have a idea about how much time we're going to be spending on these bills, but especially as a committee, to make sure that you take that extra effort to prepare, and that means reading through the bills, talking to people, thinking of questions in advance to maybe ask prior to coming to the committee meeting, and you know, for the next several weeks, this is the way it's going to be. And so, for those of you that are new, you know, to the legislature, this is we're all going to have to take it a notch up and really do our homework. And which you guys have done a great job. I'm not saying you haven't, but we'll have to step up our game because it'll be coming at us a lot faster. So, having said that, any comments or discussion before we close today? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Representative Heineman, seconded by Representative Magstead. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Very good. Thank you.